Welcome to Outlandish Voices, the podcast. I'm your host, Laura Gooden. Today's story is another in our occasional series by young Wollongong area writers. It's Corf, written and read by Jane Hosky.
What should we do with him, sir? The Premier hesitated. It can't be a coincidence that there was a major flood in our Aspect Metropolitan just after he was writing about the exact same thing. Yet, when we questioned him, he knew nothing of his story or writing it. But, sir, there are witnesses, and we have the document. The flood in the city matches his writings perfectly. The plump policeman paused, then added nervously, Even though it sounds impossible, he did write about this horrible storm, and if we don't lock him, we are not locking him up, exclaimed the Premier, clenching his fists. He did not do anything wrong. He did, sir, because it was his writings that caused the deaths. We do not lock up the innocent, the Premier shouted, turning to the petrified sergeant as if daring him to interrupt. We asked him if he wrote it on purpose. He seemed shocked at the idea, and the lie detector did not pick up any lies. Therefore, he has never heard of his powers and is innocent. There was a silence as the two stared at each other. The sergeant finally gave in. You have a good point, sir. We won't put him in jail. But we must stop him from writing. He could be very dangerous, and we must prevent him from causing any more deaths. We must keep his powers from him. The Premier folded his arms and looked up at the ceiling of the spacious office. Contact all your officers. We must warn them. The day his boss sacked him from his job was the start of Corf's life. After that day, he wasn't just focused on printing hundreds of copies of the Metropolitan Scoop. His mind opened to stories, characters, and supernatural worlds. He had no family to tell his stories to. He spent each day alone, watching the visions and dreams follow one another. His desire to write became so strong that he could not focus on anything else. It was then that he started to notice some very peculiar things going on. On the 14th day of unemployment, he went round to his friend Barry's apartment.
"G'day, Corf," said Barry cheerily.
"What are you up to?" "I was wondering if I might possibly join you in your television watching this afternoon, as mine has fallen off its perch."
"Sure, that sounds great," Barry beamed. "The football's on soon. How about we watch that, eh?"
"I predict that MC will beat Ulescent 276-5," Corf laughed.
"Alrighty then," Barry laughed.
"Let's see it on paper." Barry handed a notepad and pen to Corf, provoking him to write down his bet. Corf, sitting next to Barry, scribbled on the piece of paper before asking, "What's your bet then, Barry?"
"I reckon Ulescent will win 39-20, Barry said, writing his bet below Corf's.
"Let the game begin," he chuckled, pointing the remote control at the television. 2 hours later, MC had won 276-5, an all-time record. The media went wild. The football commentators were in awe. The MC Football Club were amazed. And Barry and Corf were staring blankly at the television, shocked at the result of the game. After almost 10 minutes of silence, Barry switched his gaze from the box to Corf.
"You predicted. It was you. You who made that happen," Barry uttered.
"No, how could I? I was sitting..." The door swung open. Men in red swarmed into the room from all directions. The lights went out, and Barry and Corf forgot everything about that night. Corf knew there was something wrong as he stepped outside room 14 and saw a pen laying at the foot of his door. After a moment of hesitation, Corf slowly picked up the pen and walked back into his room. He twirled the pen in his hands. Suddenly, his imagination became violent. Giant Lego blocks bounding around a cottage with screaming children running in the opposite direction. A human, disguised as a minuscule fish, swims through the ocean in search of treasure. The sun turned off, leaving the world cold and polluted. He wanted to write about them. Excitement leaping through him, Corf jumped to the small desk and clicked on the lamp. Then it struck him. No paper. His new excitement was drowned by disappointment. A flowering tree trying to reach the sun withered as the clouds hit him. A pretty-faced woman peered through as she opened the door a little.
"I'm sorry.
I didn't supply any paper, she whispered. May I come in?
With a hesitant nod from him, the lady walked slowly into the room and closed the door behind her.
Korf, she said. She knows my name. She knows my name. I am Renee Torrey.
Korf froze. His mind, his feeling, his knowledge of where he was froze.
Torrey. His last name.
Korf looked into Renee's eyes as she stared tentatively at him.
Mum?
Your father doesn't know I am here. When I had a vision of you in this motel, so close at last, I rushed here as fast as I could.
Mum, Korf uttered in disbelief.
I am so sorry that we have not met before.
Mum,
Korf repeated.
You said you had a vision.
Yes, it is my gift. Your father also has a gift, but of a different sort.
Korf looked closely at Renee.
What kind of gift? I believe that he should be the one to tell you that. I left him a note saying, at that moment, the door of room 14 crashed open, and a tall, flustered man bounded into the room.
Rin? Korf? He said, looking confused.
Nilius, this is Korf.
Korf?
There are matters to be discussed, Nilius, said Renee solemnly. As they settled in chairs at the small table, Renee was the first to speak.
Korf, I am so sorry.
We both are. We had to abandon you.
Why? Korf demanded.
Korf, son. Nilius shuffled uncomfortably in his seat.
You have the same power as I do, Nilius continued. Whatever you write comes to life. When you were 18, you wrote about the city being flooded. It happened, and the premier of the Aspect Metropolitan knew about it. There are many incidences in your last year of high school, when the power began to develop. The teachers suspected that there was something different about you.
That's why you haven't been permitted to write, explained Renee. The premier had the police use a highly illegal forgetful potion on you, so you will forget anything you ever write.
Nilius growled a low, angry sound.
At least I didn't put him in jail, Nil.
Korf paused, then asked, Why did you put me in an orphanage?
We were already fugitives ourselves, because of our own powers, son, said Nilius.
What kind of life is that for a child? We didn't know for sure you would be like us. We wanted to give you a chance for the life of a normal boy.
But now, said Korf, you're saying that I could injure or even kill people. I could make someone love or hate me. I could make it rain, snow, hail, shine.
Could I do all those things? Korf asked.
Well, yes, said Nilius cautiously. Korf fell into his deep thoughts.
I could make someone love me.
Korf, Nilius spoke. We thought that we could trust. The door of room 14 swung open again. Men in red ran towards the family. The lights went out.
We've got all three of them! Attack! Kill! No!
Leave them. I have some explaining to do. The lights clicked on again as the premier of the Aspect Metropolitan walked towards Korf, Renee, and Nilius, all of whom were petrified on the spot.
How did you know we would be here? Nilius whispered.
Korf has been under constant surveillance since the floods, replied the premier. If he ever got hold of writing materials, my police would track him down and use the potion to force him to forget about his writings and power. It happened quite a lot, maybe once every 2 weeks. Renee glared at the premier, who bowed his head sadly. I'm so sorry to separate you again.
He turned to the police.
Make the parents forget. I have something else in mind for Korf. If he cannot control his powers, it is up to me. My name is Korf Torrey. I have been used by the premier of the Aspect Metropolitan for the past year to shape the future. I have finally escaped and brought some writing materials with me. This is a prediction. The premier will be fired from his status of power tomorrow and will live a boring, monotonous life full of depression and regret. This is only karma. Every person associated with the Metro Police will forget about me and my ability. I will find my parents, though I do not know when. We will finally be able to bond as a family. I am going to meet an attractive woman who will fall in love with me. I shall feel the same for her. We will live long, happy lives without the intrusion of the Premier, soon to be former Premier, or the Metro Police. I know these predictions will come true because I am writing them. I am doing what the Premier feared. This is my revenge.
That was Korf, written and read by Jane Hoskey. produced by Laura Gooden. Original music by Houston Dunleavy. Find us on Facebook. Search on Outlandish Voices, the podcast. See you next time.